الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أربع إذا كن فيك فلا عليك ما فأتك من الدنيا صدق حديث وحفظ أمانة وحسن خليقة وعفة في الطعمة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected ulama kiram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, we are living in a world which is extremely and increasingly superficial. Outward beauty to become accepted, to be looked up towards, superficial appearance. This is something that if we look at the billion dollar cosmetic industry will be a clear indication. People want to look beautiful. People want to be accepted. When it comes to a Muslim desiring beauty to be accepted, this in itself is not problematic. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there that Allah is beautiful. There is nothing more beautiful than Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ Allah loves beauty. When Allah described Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran as our role model, as our guide, as our symbol, the word is uswa, which is qudwa. Uswa, in other words, whom you follow, who is your role model, your guide. Then interestingly, in that verse also, Allah Ta'ala could have said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most perfect, most complete, most such an example which has no deficiency in it. Many, many words could have been used to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being your role model. But interestingly, here also, the Quran uses the word hasana. For you, without a doubt, fi Rasulillah, in Rasulullah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is uswatun hasana, is the most beautiful example. Beauty, why? Many reasons pertinent to what we are discussing. As Muslims, we have to understand, not only are we required to practice upon Islam and Deen, we are the ambassadors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this earth. Every one of us is in charge of an advertising campaign. Every one of us is a representative of Islam and what it entails. And every one of us has to have in our heart this fikr and concern that this beautiful deen of Islam which I am practicing upon, how the whole of humanity can embrace it. People are interacting with us all the time, and based on that interaction, opinions are being formulated. In their hearts, they are either becoming convinced of the beauty and attraction of Islam, or, as is unfortunately, ironically, majority of the case now, many of us have become a very poor advert about Islam. Instead of attracting people towards Islam, we are turning people off from Islam. In other words, coming back to what we were saying earlier, we have not beautified ourselves. Beauty is not only superficial. Beauty is inward beauty, external beauty. How you as a Muslim can become attractive to others. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Sahaba Ikram imbibed within themselves the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then they didn't need to give any bayans, didn't have to engage in any debates about the haqqaniyat of Islam. Wherever they went, kunu mithlana, they would say, become like us. And in droves, people were attracted towards Islam. If we will imbibe within ourselves the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you and I, my respected brothers, will become not only complete and whole within ourselves, we will become beautiful ambassadors of Islam. People that interact with us will become attracted towards Islam. And this is a primary and a fundamental role of each and every one of us. Now the question is, our natures are such, is that we are always looking for a shortcut. Quran is more than 6,600 verses. Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based on the various different chains of ahadith, there are millions of ahadith. So what do we practice upon? How do we fulfill this responsibility? In what aspect is Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam qudwa, uswa, an example for us? What should we be placing emphasis upon? Our master sallallahu alayhi wasallam, cognizant of our weakness, highlighted four things. On a previous Jummah, 1 or 2 months ago, because of the limitations and brevity of the Jummah platform, we started discussing this hadith. We mentioned, we were able to discuss two of the aspects found in this hadith. Two remain. Again, with time constraints, I'm going to concentrate on just one of the four. Two we have already passed, one we will discuss now. And then if Allah gives life and opportunity, the one more thing we will discuss. These four things which our Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam highlighted, my respected brothers, if you analyze them, it is almost the foundational principles of Islam. And in one riwayat it comes, Allah Ta'ala addresses insan, Yabna Adam, O insan, how much effort you are making to make yourself beautiful for people. Cosmetic industry, outward superficial beauty. Allah Ta'ala asks you the question, فَهَلْ تَزَيَّنْتَ لِأَجْلِي, why don't you make yourself beautiful for my sake? Become beautiful in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And wallah, by the qasam of my Allah, the one who will incorporate within his life these four things, not only will he be beautiful in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sayaj'alu lahumur rahmanu wudda, Allah will make him beautiful, Allah will make him beloved to the entire humanity. Your family will love you. Your relatives will love you. Every person you come into contact with will love you. And you will be a blaring, shining advert towards Islam if you will incorporate these four things in your life. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like I said, gave us a shortcut. And how beautifully my Nabi put it. Arbaun, idha kunna fika, fala alayka ma fataka minad dunya. Allahu Akbar. You want to translate this in layman's terms? It's like how you tell somebody, listen, everything I told you, forget it, but don't forget this. Everything I told you, forget it, no problem, but don't forget this. Literal translation, my Nabi said, incorporate four things in your life. فَلَا عَلَيْكَ مَا فَاتَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, and my ummati, you have lost nothing, you have got everything. Whatever else you didn't get, whatever else you didn't get, if you got these four things, you have lost in reality. You have got everything. You have not lost out in anything. What are the four things? Like I said, two we discussed in detail already. He said, Sidqu hadithin. Sidqu hadithin. When you speak the truth. When you speak the truth. And I'm digressing. Like I said, we discussed it already. I'm not going so much into the detail. But unfortunately, because speaking lies, being deceitful, has become so common amongst us. Bear in mind just one hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ana za'imun, ana za'imun, ana za'imun." What this means? It means I am your guarantor. Who? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, come and demand it from me. Come and claim it from me. What? "Ana za'imun bi baytin fi rabadil jannah liman taraka al kadhib wa in kana mazihan." He said that if you will give up speaking lies, every time you open your mouth, you speak the truth. Even when you are joking, you speak the truth. Then on the day of judgment, come and demand from me your home in the middle of Jannah. Come and demand from who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sidqu hadithin, speak the truth. Hifdhu amanatin, become amanadar. In other words, don't be dokebaz. Do not be deceitful. Do not eat up the haqq of others. Do not engage in treacherous speech and dealing. In fact, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mafhum of the hadith, he said, a mu'min, yutba'ul mu'min. Every sin is possible for my ummati. Every sin is possible for my ummati. But my ummati and a mu'min will never be a liar and he will never be dokebaz. He will never be one who misappropriates amanat. The first two, like I said, we discussed already. Third, which we are not going to go into detail now. Husnu khaliqatin. Husnu khaliqatin. Make your akhlaq, make your character good. Three things. Sidqu hadithin, when you speak the truth. Hifdhu amanatin, look after, be amanadar, be trustworthy. Have good akhlaq and character. And the fourth thing. Which will make you beautiful internally, externally. Beautiful in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Beautiful and beloved to humanity. Your dunya will be made, your qabr will be made, your akhirat will be made. If everything else you missed out, don't miss out on these four things. What was the fourth thing my Nabi said? Iffatun fi tu'matin. Iffatun fi tu'matin. Let your earnings and what you consume be halal. Halal earnings. Halal kamana. Let your livelihood be halal. Temptations are there all the time. Quran tells you, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. This is an ajeeb verse in the Quran. In this is ishara that haram will always be more. Why? Because this dunya is imtihan, guys. Allah's examination room. Back door, lies, treachery, deception, getting involved in shady transactions. The Prophet will always appear to be more in haram. The Prophet will always appear to be more in haram. Classical example. Today, what is the biggest money spinners? Alcohol industry. One of the biggest money spinners. Classical example of what Quran is teaching us. Gambling industry, very big money spinner. Lottery, very big money spinner. Allah says, "Ajabaka kathratul khabith, khabasat, filth. Haram will be plenty, but understand, la yastawil khabithu wa tayyib. Khabasat and filth and pure can never be equal. Let what you eat and what you earn be pure. Feed your family pure. Ahlul Jannati Thalathatun. Ahlul Jannati Thalathatun. My Nabi said, you want to know who is a Jannati? In this hadith is ishara based on another da'if hadith. If we couple these two ahadith together, what it tells us? In Jannat, one is Jannat. Jannat is, mashallah, what did my Nabi say? Innaha Jinan. He says it's not one Jannat, it's many Jannats. In other words, many ranks. وَإِنَّ الْفِرْدَوْسَ الْأَعْلَىٰ وَإِنَّ الْفِرْدَوْسَ الْأَعْلَىٰ He said, Firdaus is the highest jannat. That jannat which Allah placed the chawi lock upon. No Nabi has seen that jannat. No angel has seen that jannat. On the day of judgment, Allah will say, اَتِنِي بِحَذِيرَةِ الْقُدْسِ Bring Hadiratul Quds, in other words, Firdaus, and Allah will make the iftitah, the opening ceremony of Firdaus only on that day. This is what we call VIP Jannat. In this Jannat, one category will be who? That person who was poor, had a large family. He was poor, had very little rosy and sustenance. Temptation for haram was there. Temptation to get involved in unlawful earnings were there. He kept himself on hardship, kept his family in hardship, made sabr on the little that he had, strove to keep his earnings halal. Understand, not tahajjud guzar, rozedar. This wasn't a man whole night was making tahajjud, whole day was fasting. His entire life he strove to feed his large family halal, made iktifa and suffice on very, very little. Allah will not just give him jannat, Allah will give him VIP jannat. Allah will give him jannatul firdaus. One mafhum of one hadith, it comes that there are certain gunas, there are certain sins. Your namaz and sadaqah will not be sufficient to get these sins forgiven by Allah. What will get these sins forgiven by Allah? The perspiration that will drip from your body in putting halal food in front of your family. Earning halal, this is not something to be taken lightly. Sa'd bin Mu'az is sitting in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His hands had become emaciated through rigor. How? Physically pulling the rope in order to irrigate his land. He was a farmer by trade. So the hands had become demarcated, marked with harsh lines. My Nabi saw those hands, looked at it and said, Sa'd, how did this happen? He said, Ya Rasulullah, in earning for my family, the rigors of irrigating my land caused my hands to become marked like this. What does my Nabi do? He takes those hands, puts it to his Mubarak lips, kisses the hands of Sa'd and says that hand that has become like this because of putting halal earning in front of your family, Allah has made the fire of Jahannam haram on these hands. Allah has made the fire of Jahannam haram on these hands. A laborer, a simple person, goes from morning till evening. He toils, sometimes maybe on a construction site, sometimes in some factory. The society doesn't give him a second glance. He doesn't hold much position or status. He's an ordinary, simple laborer, earning a little halal earning, which he puts in front of his family. At the whole day, end of the day, he gets his payment, maybe 50 rand, 100 rand, 1000 rand, whatever it is. Is our Shariat silent on this? What is his payment in the heavens? What is his maqam by Allah? What does my Nabi say? Man amsa kallan bi amali yadayhi amsa maghfuran lahu. That person who worked an entire day, not sat in the masjid the whole day, was in the marketplace the whole day, but he was honest, he was trustworthy, he didn't lie, he didn't cheat, he stayed away from haram, he sweated, he perspired in the sun, amsa, became tired, kallan, amsa, kallan. By the evening he was tired. He got his wage in dunya, in the eyes of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he get? Maghfuran lahu. My Nabi says, Allah wipes away all his sins. If he dies at that evening, he will die a jannati. His maghfirat has been made. That extent, Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have opened up the pathways of Jannat for us through halal earnings. Today, partnership, which partnership is not in a problem? Which partnership there isn't arguments? Which partnership there isn't duplicity? Yet, What does Shariat say? Yaqulullahu ta'ala, Allah says, Hadith Qudsi, my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah says, Ana thalithu sharikain, when two Muslims enter into a partnership deal. When two Muslims enter into a partnership deal, there is so much barakah in this. Allah says, I become their third partner. They are not just partners with one another, they are partners with Allah. Allah is in that partnership. But to when? How long? Ma lam yakun ahaduhuma sahibu. Until one of them doesn't open the door of khianat. Until one of them doesn't open the door of deception. Until one of them doesn't open the door of lying and treachery. The moment that happens, Allah says, "Kharajtu min bainihima." Then I am no longer their partner. Now this partnership will earn him Jahannam. He is feeding the coals. He is feeding himself the coals of Jahannam. My Nabi enters into the marketplace. Someone is selling grain. Overnight there was some rain. Inferior grain is that which has become soiled with rainwater. Pure grain is the dry one. What this person did, he put the dry grain on top, the inferior grain in the bottom. Sahibe Wahi, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walks up to this man, puts his hand inside the barrel, digs deep till he finds the soil, inferior one in the bottom. Then he turns to that businessman and gives you and I a sabak till qiyamah when it comes to your earnings. When it comes to your earnings, when it comes to your earning, afala ja'altahu fawqa ta'am? Why didn't you put the inferior one on top? Why did you put the inferior one in the bottom? And then what does my Nabi say? Man ghashana, man ghashana, man ghashana. He didn't say if you don't make salah. He didn't say if you don't give your zakat. He didn't say if you get involved in zina. He didn't say if you get involved in looting someone. He said, man ghashana, the one who deceives, the one who deceives in the marketplace, falaysa minna, he is not from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's not my ummati. He can never be my ummati. Man ba'iban lam yubayyinhu. My Nabi said, when you will sell something, and that thing, what you are selling is defective. What you are selling is defective. Lam yubayyinhu, you didn't reveal the defect. You knew it was defective, you hid it. Man ba'iban lam yubayyinhu. You pull the wool over the eyes of your customer. The whole world will tell you, shabash, mashallah, what a businessman. You made the deal happen. You hoodwinked him. What does my Nabi say? What does my Nabi say? Man ba'iban lam yubayyinhu. The one who sold something defective, did not reveal the defect. Lam yazal fi maqatillah. He will perpetually be in the anger of Allah. وَلَمْ تَزَلِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَلْعَنُهُ. And Allah's malaika will be constantly cursing such a person. Constantly cursing such a person. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu walks into the marketplace of Medina Munawara. Someone is selling milk. What did he do? He mixed the milk with water. He mixed the milk with water. Abu Huraira notices this, addresses that man and says to him, oh my brother, what are you doing? Kayfa bika. Think about that day. Think about that day that is coming. إِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. When Allah will call you in His court, and Allah will say to you, خَلِّسِ الْمَاءَ مِنَ اللَّبَنِ. Separate the milk and water. Separate the milk and water. Are you going to be able to do that? A Muslim doesn't keep only profit and loss in front of him. A Muslim keeps his akhirat in front of him. Today, unfortunately, we have become the living embodiment of the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, "Yati ala nasi zamanun la yubali al maruma akhada amin al halal amin al haram." He said, "A time will come, a time will come, a time will come. My ummah will not care. They will not care where the wealth is coming from. Whether it is halal or haram will be no consideration." Kaan kol kar sun lena. Listen with the ears of iman. Allah protect you, Allah protect me. Mafhum of the hadith. Allah says, the one who does not care where his earnings are coming from, I will not care through which door of Jahannam he enters. The one who will not care where his earnings are coming from. Allah says, mafhum of the hadith, I will not care through which door of Jahannam he enters. Charity is in its place. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah. Listen to this. He says, I would prefer returning back one penny doubtful that I took of someone's. I would prefer this to the act of giving 600,000 dinars in charity. Time is very limited. My respected brothers, what greater example than that person who my Nabi said, the doors of Jannat will call out his name. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Famous incident. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali mentions it in his Hayatul Sahaba, in his Fazail Amal. Mawlana Yusuf Sahab Rahmatullah Ali mentions in his Hayatul Sahaba also. He had a slave who used to earn his livelihood in the old days. How he used to earn it? By engaging in astronomy, which was haram. Later on, he made tawbah. But one day he goes out, he comes across, they're having a wedding function. They were owing him some money, so they invited him and they gave him some food. In other words, haram, because it was the produce of astrology. He brings it in the evening. Abu Bakr normally, radiallahu anhu, every day he would ask this person, where did this food come from? How did you earn it? Today he was very hungry. Very hungry. So he didn't ask. He took one morsel, ate it, then he asked. Before he could ask, the slave asked him, Abu Bakr, normally you ask me, today you didn't ask me? He says, I was very hungry, but any case, tell me. When he explained where it was, Abu Bakr gets the shock. Now look at the reaction. This is that person my Nabi said the doors of Jannat will call out his name. Look at the ihtiyat to stay away from haram. To stay away from haram. To stay away from haram. What does Abu Bakr do? He tries to vomit out the one morsel. It's not coming out. He starts drinking water and then drinking water and then drinking water till eventually he's able to vomit out the one morsel. People are there. Abu Bakr almost killed himself. They said, Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. Min ajli hadhihi al-luqma. Such a effort you made because of one morsel. He said, I heard from the lips of my master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kullu lakhmin nabata min suht. Fannaru awla bihi. Fakhashitu an yambuta shay'un min jasadi min hadhihi al-luqma. He said, I heard from the lips of the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whatever flesh is replenished by haram, Jahannam will touch that flesh. I feared that this luqma will enter my bloodstream. It will form some part of my body. How is Abu Bakr going to be saved from Jahannam? Lo lam takhruj illa ma'a nafsihi la akhrajtuha. I take qasam on Allah. If my life went in taking out this morsel, I would have given my life, but I would not have allowed this morsel of haram to remain in my body. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, famous hadith. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah tayyib. Allah is pure. Allah is spark. Allah is clean. La yaqbal illa tayyiba. Allah will only accept that which is clean, spark and pure. Wa inna Allah ta'ala amara al-mu'minin bima amara bihi al-mursaleen. Allah didn't just order the believers, he ordered the anbiya. What referring to the verse of the Quran, ya ayyuhar rusul kulu min at-tayyibat wa'malu salihan inni bima ta'maluna 'aleem. Wa qala ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. Mursaleen, mu'mineen. Anbiya, ordinary believers. Both are addressed in the Quran. Anbiya address, ya ayyuhar rusul, O my nabis, O the anbiya, kulu min at-tayyibat. Make sure your eatings and your earnings are halal, tayyib, pure. Quran uses the word pure. Why? Because that which is haram is najis, it is filth. There should be a level of reprehensibility. Today with absolute ease, the businessman who thinks, mashallah, he's the academia. What's the difference? What's the difference between Islamic banking and non-Islamic banking? What's the difference between entering into a loan of interest or another type of loan? Quran tells us, Quran, I'm not going into the masail of Islamic banking, that we should ask our ulama if we're happy or not happy. But to equate the two, something is called Islamic if it fulfills the criteria of Islam, and something is un-Islamic. How can the two ever be equal? How can the two ever be equal? When my Allah says, Quran warns us, قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَىٰ إِنَّمَا They will say, normal transaction is equal to riba. What is the difference? أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعِ Allah made normal transaction, shari'i transaction, halal. وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَىٰ And Allah made riba haram. For you to say the two are equal, your iman is in khatra. For you to say the two are equal, your iman is in khatra. You are taking urine and milk and equating the two. Allah made one halal, it is pure. Allah made one haram, it is impure. Never try to equate the two. Never try and justify. Coming back to this verse, Allah addresses the anbiya. Ya ayyuhar rasul, ya ayyuhar rasul, O my anbiya, kulu minat tayyibat, eat from the pure. Wa'malu saliha. Ajeeb, Quran is ajeeb. Allah says, eat from the pure and do good deeds. Mufassirin say there is a direct link. Today people say, I find it hard to wake up for tahajjud. I find it hard to read Quran. I find it hard to make ibadat. Why? Why? Because there is a link between your earnings, what you eat, and your amal. Eat pure, doing good deeds will become easy for you. Eat pure for your family also, neki, imandari will become easy. Next verse, my Nabi recites, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. O people of iman, eat of the pure which we have given you. Stay within halal. Stay within halal. Consult the ulama. Whether it's banking, whether it's ordinary transaction, whatever it is, consult the ulama of haq. Get your direction. Stay away from haram. Stay away from temptation. Look at the example. Look at the loss. Time is very limited. I'm already running out of time. Ajeeb hadith. If we take nothing else, take this away from them. Take this much away. My respected brothers, today we want, when we are facing problems, facing depression, facing hardship, facing financial difficulty, what is the marham? What is the solution? Solution is dua. Turn to Allah. Turn to Allah. And dua is like a key. Key, when you put it in the lock, if the ridges are not right, it's not going to work. Allah accepts the duas. Allah is very merciful. But we want guaranteed acceptance. What is guaranteed acceptance? The ridges must be right. The ridges must be right. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, asked my Nabi, he said, Ya Rasulallah, udu'ullah, an yaj'alani mustajabat da'wa. What an ajeeb request. He says, O Nabi of Allah, I want you to make dua for me. What dua? Make dua that Allah makes me such that whenever I make dua, Allah accepts my dua. Make dua that Allah makes me mustajabud dawa. My Nabi could have just made dua for him. But what does my Nabi tell him? The ridges of the key have to be correct. He says, Ya Saad, atib mat'amak. Atib mat'amak takun mustajabud dawa. Make sure your earnings are halal. What you eat is halal. And I, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, guarantee you, you will raise your hand and whatever you ask will be answered. تكن مستجاب الدعوة والذي نفس محمد بيده إن الرجل ليقذف في جوفه لقمة من حرام ما يتقبل منه عمله عمل 40 يوما. Then my Nabi took an oath on Allah. He says, I take qasam on Allah, O Saad, when one morsel of haram enters your body, forget, leave your du'as, your salah and your ibadat for 40 days will not be accepted by Allah. Your salah and ibadat of 40 days will not be accepted by Allah. And ayyuma lahmin nabata min suht fannar awla bihi, that flesh which is replenished with haram, jahannam becomes, has greater right over that flesh. To complete this hadith, look at the example my Nabi gives. The hadith we mentioned earlier. He says, rubba ash'ath. He said, thumma dhakara ar-rajul. Allahu Akbar. This hadith, unfortunately, time is very limited. Very quickly, I'm going to go through it. There are four things which we find in ahadith which make your du'as very, very likely to be accepted immediately. Four things. One is safar. When a man is on safar, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ثَلَاثُ دَعْوَاتْ مُسْتَجَابَاتْ لَا شَكَّ فِيهِنَّ. He said there are three du'as which are mustajab, accepted, لَا شَكَّ فِيهِنَّ. There is no doubt in it. One of the three, دَعْوَةُ musafir, is the du'a of a person on safar. Second thing which makes du'a accepted is when a person adopts humility. When his appearance is disheveled. رُبَّ أَشْعَثْ أَغْبَرْ مَدْفُعٌ بِالْأَدْبَابِ ذِي تِمْرَيْنِ لو أقسم على الله لا أبره حديث. My Nabi said, when a man is disheveled, full of dust, his hair is scattered, he has a simple appearance, people chase him away from their door. If he takes a qasam on Allah, Allah will accept. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come out for dua of rain, kharaja an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi du'a al-istiqfa istisqa, it's mentioned in the riwayat, kharaja mutadarri'an mutabadhilan mutawadhi'an. My Nabi would purposely make his appearance disheveled because this was a means for the acceptance of dua. So two duas are definitely accepted. One a musafir, one a person who has a disheveled appearance. Third sabab and means for the acceptance of dua is a man who stretches his hands to the heavens. It comes in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inna Allah hayyun kareem. My Allah is full of haya. He's very generous. Idha rafa'a ar-rajul yadayhi ila as-samaa. When a man raises his hands in dua towards the heavens, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah has sharam and haya an yaruddahuma sifrain khaibatain. Allah becomes embarrassed. This is for our understanding, literal translation. Allah is free of such emotions. But for our understanding, my Nabi says, Allah becomes embarrassed to reject such a dua when a man raises his hands to the heavens. Fourth means by which dua is accepted, when a person insists calling Allah Rabb, calling Allah Rabb, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. Marfu riwayat of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it said, Idha yaqulu ar-rajul fi dua, Ya Rabbi arba'an. A man raises his hands in dua and then he says, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, four times. Allah responds, Labbaik ya abdi, I am present my slave, sal tu'ta, ask whatever you ask for will be granted. Four means by which dua is very likely to be accepted. I'm mentioning them again. One is when a man is a musafir. The other is when a person has a disheveled appearance. Thirdly, when a man raises his hands to the heavens. Fourthly, when a man insists with Allah using the term, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. Now come back to this hadith. Thumma dhakar al-rajul. My Nabi mentioned about a man. Thumma dhakar al-rajul. He described this person. Yutilu safar. This man was a musafir. Not just a musafir, he went on a long journey. Yutilu safar. Ash'atha aghbar. His appearance was disheveled. Rafa'a yadayhi ila as-samaa. He raised his hands to the heavens and he said, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. All four asbab and means for the acceptance of dua is found in this man. But what is the problem? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Mat'amuhu haram, mashrabuhu haram, malbasuhu haram, ghudhiya bil haram. His clothing was of haram sources. His food was from haram sources. His earning was from haram sources. His sustenance was from haram sources. Every means for the acceptance of dua is there. But Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't just say Allah will not accept his dua. He says, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَٰلِكَ. Layman's terms, mahal hai. It is impossible that his dua will ever be accepted by Allah. We want to become, hum to mail bakaram, koi sail hi nahi. Allah is waiting. We want the solution. We want the panacea. We want the door to the heavens to be open. We want our dunya and akhirat to be made. Four things amongst these four things, my respected brothers, halal kamana, halal kamana, halal kamana. Let your earnings be halal. Let your earnings be halal. Resist the temptation. Dunya is temporary. Halal earnings will get you the maqam of anbiya. Halal earnings will get you Jannatul Firdos. Halal earnings will make you mustajabud da'wat. May Allah accept. Make it easy for us.